My name is Ari.
And my name is Dante. And this is Pam Pop. How are y'all doing today? Warren, we filmed the 7 episodes consecutively, so I think I know how we feel. Gun to the head. Absolutely.
Today's song is another modern Disney classic intertwined with the minds behind Hamilton.
Let's explore We Don't Talk About Bruno by the cast of Encanto. Released on November 19, 2021, Bruno was the lead and only single from the Encanto soundtrack from the Disney animated musical film of the same name soundtrack, directed by Jared Bush and Byron Howard. The song was written and produced by Lin-Manuel Miranda and Mike Elizondo.
Encanto follows the Colombian family clan, the Madrigals, where each child is expected from Maribel, played by Stephanie Beatriz, who receives magical gifts from miracles that help them serve the people in their town. After learning that her family's magic is waning, she tries to understand what is happening and how to solve the problem before it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Drawers, floors, doors. Let's get into the lyrics.
I'm in my pan.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get your pens out.
That's right, let's get into lyrics and our first thoughts on We Don't Talk About Bruno, no. I remember watching this when it came out on Disney Plus while at home doing school virtually because we were in the middle of the pandemic. And my town was in and out of lockdown, but I was hooked on Disney Plus. I really need to reinstall her. But I took a break because I can't be wasting time watching all these shows. But I was watching Pose, AHS, American Horror Story, Empire, all the new movies. And Lin-Manuel will pay for his crimes. And because I say that, because We Don't Talk About Bruno had the audacity to dethrone Adele's Easy On Me, and it would have stayed at number one for another 6 consecutive weeks, and it could have matched Mariah's record. It's okay. We'll let the kids have their fun.
What I remember about Encanto was I just remember seeing it on my screen, and I was like, you know what? Let me watch this. It looks interesting. Then I made my mother watch it too. I definitely, like, I watched the whole thing, seated for it. Lin-Manuel, a crime you must pay for. You do
However,
not.
It's a catchy soundtrack.
A queen.
I will, exactly. And it's the queen on queen crime.
I think it's mostly attributed to TikTok because it took off, and it was a very good time for it to take off. And I agree. Adele said, I don't make music for TikTok. Adele, take a lesson here. Take a note. Take a pen. Hey, girl, I know you don't. Yeah, listen, I love you too. And I'm mad as you are. But you say you don't make music for the TikTok. But this is what happens. This is what happens when you don't make music for the TikTok. These people do. And they get on you. And they write it to the number one. And that's what happens. Okay? So take notes. So for the next time, maybe do a couple TikTok hits.
Adele, Dazeem, they're playing the games, and I'm not having the games.
Exactly.
Well, but anyways, let's get into these lyrics. Ready? We don't talk about Bruno, no. You know, when this first came out, I didn't understand that it was like from the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why are we talking about, who's this Bruno person? Bruno Mars? What's going on here? I'm like, no, I thought he was doing Silk Sonic. What's happening? And then I realized it was a new Disney movie.
Which I have to say, was there promo around it? Because I don't remember seeing it before.
I don't remember. I think it went straight to Disney Plus because it was the pandemic. They didn't do theater.
Right.
I think there was like ads. I mean, like, what else could you do at that time? I don't recall the promotional cycle.
Yeah, I don't recall either. So that's why I'm... Because, like, what led to the movie?
They had performances later on. It was TikTok. It was literally TikTok.
Yeah.
And We Don't Talk About Bruno and all the songs on TikTok. I remember.
I actually remember when I was at the clinic, like, for COVID, injecting people with a vaccine. And the kids would come in and they were, like, obsessed with this stuff. And I'm like, hey, what is this? Why are we watching? And I think that's why I started watching. I don't remember. I don't recall exactly.
It was the new Frozen. It was everywhere.
Yeah, it was everywhere. And the children knew every word of the lyric. It was there. It had the acclaim. It's Disney. You can't go wrong.
It was my wedding day. It was our wedding day. So first it's like the two characters, the husband and wife. She was saying, it's my wedding day. It was our wedding day. We were getting ready and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Mm-hmm. No clouds allowed in the sky. Bruno walks in with a mischievous grin. Thunder. And then she's kind of like, he's interrupting. And she's like, are you telling the story or am I?
I'm starting to be that. Go on.
What does mi vida mean? Like, my darling,
life,
what does that
or
mean?
Or my love, or my, yeah, my life. Vida means life.
I think. Okay. Bruno says, "It looks like rain. Why did he tell us? In doing so, he floods my brain. Abuela, get the umbrellas. Married in a hurricane. What a joyous day. But anyway," so I like what I love about men. What's his name? Lin-Manuel. Is he just? It's very a conversational thing.
Yeah, you know, it's very conversational.
It's rap, it's pop. He blends genres, and you could tell this is like made from somebody who makes musicals because it's very active dialogue between the characters.
Yeah, that's what he do. He's good at it. I'm not gonna lie.
So the Bruno character, he is kind of like the fortune teller, but you know he kind of makes people believe that it's gonna happen when if he didn't tell them it wouldn't have happened. But because he changes the attitude, you know, and that sometimes they're saying like that's why you should never get your fortune right because then you're gonna obsess about it until it actually happens. But then we go into the chorus again. We don't talk about Bruno, no. So every time I say we don't talk about Bruno, it's kind of like an interlude as we switch to the next character because it's we're going through. Must you do that?
Why is it annoying?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you stop, please?
It's scratching your brain.
So as we don't talk about Bruno, it kind of goes to the next character. We go through each member of the family and their bad experience with Bruno. So we go to the next character. Yeah. Okay. Hey. And this is the whispering one, Dolores. The one that's popular on TikTok. Hey, good to live in fear of Bruno stuttering and stumbling. I can always hear him sort of mumbling and mumbling. I associate him with the sound of falling sand. Shh, shh, shh. Yeah. Now that was really fast, so we'll go line by line.
Thank you. He grew up to live in fear of Bruno stuttering and mumbling.
She is Dolores. Dolores. So Dolores is the one that can hear everything.
Oh, sorry. She grew to live in fear of Bruno stuttering and mumbling. So, like, I guess, like, oh, because she can hear. Right. I remember her.
Yeah. So she doesn't want to hear, like, his vision.
Right.
Because she hears them all. Well, the family is villainizing him because he's sort of telling the truth and he's sort of giving them the visions and they don't want it to come true because they don't want to hear it. But when it actually happens, you know, they blame him for basically their demise or things going wrong.
Mm, maybe he's hearing voices. I always associate him with the sound of falling sand. Shh, shh, shh. Because he's telling the voices, shh, be quiet, shh, be quiet. Don't say that shit. Don't be talking. Mm-hmm. So what if, this is my theory, the whole family has some form of power, but also could be related to the mental health, the mental problems that they think they have powers. It could be, well, I don't know, but what were the other powers? I don't remember.
Well, you see in the back, the character has like strength. And
okay, so
another one grows flowers.
Yeah, so maybe they have some form of delusions or hallucinations or things like that. And Maribel is the only one that's actually
normal. And that's where she has family trauma because she has to carry the brunt of everybody.
Exactly.
Oh, you did that.
So maybe that's why Bruno has some form of schizophrenia or something like that. And he is actually fighting. That's why telling the voices to quiet. And he's always mumbling and stuttering because he's always in a dispute with the voices. In my opinion.
Okay, we're really coming through with the conspiracies this season.
I know.
Okay. So anyways, it's a heavy lift with a gift so humbling.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a burden. It's heavy to tell the truth, something bad. You don't want to tell somebody that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. I got to warn you. Always left Abuela and the family fumbling. Like I said, they all hate his ass because they're grappling with prophecies they couldn't understand. Do you understand? And then we move on to the next character. A 7-foot frame. Oh, so this is the character that morphs. They can shapeshift into different animals and people. Oh. So at this point, he shapeshifts into Bruno. And he's kind of, again, like antagonizing him. And he's saying a 7-foot frame. Like he's saying he's really tall, but actually he's not. Rats along his back because he lives in the walls of the house. And that's where all the rats are. When he calls your name, it all fades to black.
Right, because when he tells you the future, he's about to, you're like scared. Mm-hmm. And feast on your screams. So they're just villainizing him, you're right. So
he sees your dreams, he feasts on your screams. Like they're thinking that he gets a rise out of their demise, but he's just telling the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then so now at this point, we go into kind of the other people in the town. And so this person said, he told me my fish would die the next day, dead.
He told me I'd grow a gut. And just like he said, oh no.
Well, he said,
you didn't tell me and I still grew a gut. What happened?
We don't talk about.
Wait.
He said that all my hair would disappear and I look at my head and it's like the right. priest and he's wearing a toupee and he's bald under. Your fate is sealed when your prophecy is read.
He told me that the life of my dream will be promised and someday be mine.
I love this part because it's the sister with the long hair that does flowers. And she's like, she's on like a flower string and she's coming down. And it's kind of like a cappella moment.
He told me that my life of my dreams will be promised and someday be mine.
What's her name? Isabella.
He told me that the powers would grow like the grape that thrived on the vine. Oye, Mariano.
That's the abuela. She's like, and Mariano's on his way, which is played by Maluma. He told me that the man of my dreams would be just out of reach. That's Dolores, because Dolores, they're in a love triangle, right? So Mariano is engaged to Isabella, and Dolores likes Mariano's. Mm. But then also, Isabella doesn't really like him back.
Exactly. Betrothed to another. But if you think about, like, this is a very good story told even in a song. And like you said, it's a musical.
I know.
And that's what Lin-Manuel does. He knows how to tell a story through a song, which he did in Hamilton.
It's foreshadowing, like, all the subplots.
Yeah. And he's able to take, like, the whole story and put it into a song. Mm-hmm. That is foreshadowing a lot of the movie.
This is where each character sings their verse and it's all overlapping.
Right. It's like combination of all of them and spread out.
So it's like a 7-foot frame. It was my wedding day. It was our wedding day. Rats all on his back. We were getting ready. Okay. Whatever. He sees your dreams. Bruno walks in with a mischievous grin. A feast on your screams. Thunder. You telling the story or am I? In doing so, he floods my brain. Married in a hurricane. He's here. So then Mariano arrives. And then Mirabel goes upstairs. And she's like putting together like the pieces of something, I think, that says her prophecy basically is she is going to be the reason the house falls under. And so now she's thinking, like, why did I talk about Bruno? I don't talk about Bruno, no. I think, like, it's not really a song where you analyze the lyrics, but you kind of, like, you're trying to follow the story. And so honestly, like, when I first watched the movie, like, everything was just happening so fast. It was very overstimulating, sure. I have to say, the movie. I was like, wait a minute. Can we put this down a bit?
It was too much, yeah. It was too fast. It's fast-paced, the movie itself. Why do you think this song, out of all the songs, was the most popular one?
I think because it touches upon so many different styles of music. Like, it's kind of like the part that went viral is "We don't talk about Bruno, no." And Dolores' part, where it's like "Bruno, na 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 na, stumbling, I can na 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 na." And I think because it's fast, so it's like rap, which is really popular at the time. So it's kind of like a hip hop song, basically. And it also has Latin influences, which also kind of relates to people who are big right now, like Bad Bunny and Cardi B and those people.
That makes sense.
At one point, all the different parts went viral. So I think that's what made this song so popular, is like each verse appealed to somebody. Like, my favorite part is, he told me that the man of my dreams. Na-na-na. And then other people like the Dolores part, and other people like 7-foot frame.
Got it. Yeah. If we look at all of them, what was this one the most, you know, appealing to the crowds? And is, that melodic person.
And like you said, it describes the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, if you listen to the song, it's about each character talking about their aspirations or their problems. So you can kind of get a gist of what the movie's about if you don't watch the movie. Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back to discuss all things Encanto.
Hey guys, we're stopping our very own podcast for our very own fake ad until we get sponsorships.
We love manifesting. Make sure to follow us on whatever social media you're on at Pen Pop Podcast to get notified for new episodes, because why would you miss them?
Or just talk to us in general on our personal accounts at DanteDiDomenico_ and at Ari Dominguez Official.
And if you like what you're hearing so far, don't forget to leave us a rating or review from wherever you're listening to this podcast.
And now, back to Pen Pop.
P-E-N-P-O-P.
And now that we've analyzed the lyrics, we have to get a little bit into the rollout, the movies, the song, the music video, and a lot more. Let's go.
Okay, Bruno is a mid-tempo song. It blends salsa. Now I need your help here. Is it Garia?
Guajira? Guajira.
Garija? Guajira. Guajira, pop, hip-hop, dance, Broadway style cha-cha beats, minor key vocals, and polyphonic outros, where it's like multiple people talking. It is also influenced by Cuban folk music, and each character gets their own distinctive music style. So Peppa, the couple, Peppa and Felix get Cuban piano. Dolores gets soft electronic beats. Stumbling, whatever. Camilo has spooky sounds because he's describing Bruno. And Isabella has pizzicato strings, and it's more like stripped down.
The song has been translated in 46 languages, and when released, immediately went viral on TikTok, shot to number one on Spotify, and earned 30 million views in its first week. Bruno peaked at number one on the Hot 100, becoming the second number one song from Disney film since Aladdin's A Whole New World, and stayed there for 5 weeks in another feat never done by any Disney film.
Mm-hmm. And you can really see the impact there, like Lin-Manuel's impact from Hamilton and Encanto. Like now every movie is trying to have their like rap moment, even in the new Little Mermaid one, which he was involved in as well. I feel like they tried to do something with the scuttlebutt and it did not land. But for the first time, that's where it worked. And even like, I don't know, I see a lot of animated movies. They now do little rap parts. They do songs like that where they're trying to emulate that Hamilton style. Additionally, it was the first time a Disney animated soundtrack had an album and song both at the top of the charts. In the UK, it topped the charts for 7 weeks, the longest song at number one for the year. It also had similar success across Europe, charting in the top 10.
The song also won a Grammy for Best Song Written for Visual Media, but was not submitted for a nomination at the Academy Awards.
Now that, I don't understand. Why did they not submit this for an Oscar?
I have no idea. But at the same time, I guess they just knew that they were never going to win.
I guess, because they didn't think it was like a traditional enough song.
Yeah, because if they won a Grammy, they're definitely going to win an Oscar.
That's what I think. Let's talk about that. Yes, well, the boardroom will probably not decide that because they are, you know, how they run with everything. Let's talk about the movie performances and interviews. The scene itself, I love, everything's very colorful. I love the different sounds. I love how the house moves. Again, I love Isabella's part because she's, everything goes dark and they're all looking up at her and she's coming down with the spotlight. It's kind of like a Broadway show in the movie, mm-hmm. which makes sense because he is familiar with Broadway. And I think the transitions are also really good.
Well, I think the movie, like the movie itself, like you said, it was very fast paced. It was very, but he knew that because he knew our attention span was short, especially mm-hmm. children nowadays. So they had to be fast paced, not just him. I'm sure he worked with the director or whatever, the producer, and they knew that that had to happen. So he had to write a fast paced song that also was, I don't think he wrote it for the TikTok intentionally, but there was part of it that played into it, because if you think about it, he's able to like make the song a number one. Like, I mean, who can do that these days? No, barely some really artists who are actually working on it.
Yeah, like,
so, it's from a movie, like it's a soundtrack, like, you know.
Up until Barbie, I just feel like soundtracks have been very lackluster. And this was one of the most, like this and The Greatest Showman, like are two examples that I think of from the late 2010s, and Black Panther. Yeah. But other than like those ones that are standouts, most soundtrack albums have been flops for me. It's been chops.
I just don't really like cartoon, if that makes sense. I guess I'm not a child, but
yeah.
You know, I'm not into the cartoon phase, but I think it did a really good job of being, like, real. Like, Maribel, she kind of looks, like, real in a way.
Yeah, well, I think
there are people, but you know what I mean?
I think it's more authentic because it's not really a plot about an adventure or, like, a big supernatural force. Like, they have magical powers, but, like, it's about a family and the internal dynamics in the family, ultimately.
Yeah.
So I think that was really relatable to people.
Yeah, that's why I think like it's the thing about family, you can't go wrong. It's like you have to just understand it a little bit better. But for kids, it's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Kids to learn all about that and have a, you know, familiar concept to the life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think itself was really good. Now, the performances. Did they perform this live? I remember The Oscars or something like that, that they did.
Yes. So they did the Oscars and they had the whole cast do it live. And so they had, they kind of, it was like a, whatchamacallit? It was like a get together of like all these amazing Latino artists, I'm trying to say. Because, you know, they brought out Becky G to do like one verse. They had Sheila E. on the drums and they had the whole cast, and they kind of had the mariachi band. I'm surprised they didn't get Maluma though. Maluma was in the movie, and like I don't remember him on any songs. Was he in the songs? But I was surprised that he didn't have like a solo song for it. And then they brought out Megan Thee Stallion to do kind of this one-off verse, but it was never released on streaming.
So I just wonder, why is the a lot of people break roles into this kind of acting? Is it because it's voice acting and maybe they don't want to like actually do like a movie?
Like Maluma?
No, like some artists.
I think most people kind of just fall into roles like this.
That's true.
I mean, like if
they're music.
But I don't want to speak for them, but voicing for an animated movie is, I'm not saying it's
very different
than actually acting. I just hear a lot of stories where actors like, this wasn't what I wanted to do. I kind of just fell into it and it became like a blessing in disguise. Like our girl Idina, I mean, she was successful on Broadway in her own right, but like Frozen took her career to like the next level. And to get her opportunities such as creating the Beast Baby. So, and when it's Disney, you know, you're going to get a good, consistent check. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer for me.
Alrighty, everybody. It's time for the sign-off. What are your final thoughts on this beautiful We Don't Talk About Bruno song?
It was catchy. It was refreshing. And it was just like, I wrote down, it's alive. I don't know how to describe it. It's very full of life. Yeah. It's alive to me.
Yeah. As you can see, look, their energy level is like through the roof. Yeah. No normal person acts like this. But it's that, you know, bringing in that stamina to the characters. And yeah. I don't know. I mean, I like it. Like, I really do enjoy it. I made my mom watch it too. Girl, did not finish it. But I do, like, remember, like, I think this is the only movie that I saw and I actually went right away to watch it. Because I don't know, it was something to it. I guess it was the song, it was very popular at the time and it brought a lot of change. The only thing I'm questioning is why the downfall after this?
The downfall of what?
This. Do kids still watch it? I don't know. I'm wondering.
Are you kidding me? It's huge.
Still?
Yes, I hear kids talking about it all the time.
Any kids about it.
They go crazy for Mirabelle.
Actually, that's a lie. Next semester, actually in a couple of weeks, I'm going to let you know how they feel about it because I will be working with kids and I'll ask them, hey, how about cancel?
I feel like before it was very much about like Ariel. It's very much about Tangled and people loved Frozen. What hell is this? Now it's very much about Frozen, Moana, and Encanto.
That's what I'm saying. But Elsa and Anna were everywhere. Okay, you cannot tell me. Encanto is not as. It's a different time.
Because the pandemic, so they couldn't go full out with the promo. Vic, I mean, the song went number one. Let It Go did not.
Yeah, but for me, Let It Go.
But yes.
Or not. I think because we were the movie Frozen 1 was bigger to me than this.
Well, I think because we were actually living and going outside. Yeah. And whereas like this, we were inside. Like I couldn't understand the cultural impact because I was stuck in my house.
Exactly. That's really what it is. That's what I think it is. I don't know. I guess they focused more on digital marketing rather than Frozen was a marketing in general. It was everywhere. Y'all know how the Frozen shit went down.
Yeah, because that's when we all used to go to the movie theaters. Now we don't, unless it's like a big movie like Barbie or something. Because it ain't cheap. And why would I go if I can watch it on Netflix or Disney Plus?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, thank you so much for watching this beautiful episode. We have fun talking about Miss Encanto, Lin-Manuel. Also, I want to say, why wasn't Lin-Manuel, I'm surprised it didn't make a cover or a little appearance here and there in this work.
All right. I feel like
he did
a cameo or something, but I'm just not a big, I'm not involved in that world. So
I have no idea.
But as far as my research goes, he was not, but he like sang the demo. There's videos online of like them like recording it. They recorded it on Zoom call and he has to like direct everybody. And so is the one, they had to record, like, basically like the person who plays Mirabelle is like in the studio. And then like, he's on the other line, like, watching her do it, and she finishes the take and he's like, okay, great, or he's like, okay, let's try it this way.
Like we said, thank you so much, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the video. I hope you enjoyed Encanto. Let us know how your children are dealing with Encanto. Was it a good success? I don't know. You let us know.
And let us know if your children are annoying you with Encanto, okay?
Yeah.
Because I know I annoy my parents with Frozen, so.
Yeah, let us know. Write a comment. Let us know how you feel. What do you like about the show? What you don't like? Look at her, superwoman up in here, Maribel. Maribel. Gracias a todos los latinos que están viendo estas cosas, que tienen aprendiendo cómo hacer la película de Encanto. Si te gustó este programa, por favor, dale un like y compártelo con tus amigos. There you go, everybody. Hope you enjoyed. We will see you back next time on the next episode of Pam Pop. Remember to subscribe or follow us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hit it, Dante.
Bye, y'all. That's all I got to say.
Okay, bye-bye.
Gorditos out.
Pam Pop is produced and edited by Ari Dominguez and Dante DiDomenico. Hosted by Ari Dominguez and Dante DiDomenico. Graphics created by Ari Dominguez and Dante DiDomenico. Themes music created by Ari Dominguez. Thank you to the listeners who support us. If you'd like to show your support or learn more information, visit the show notes in your podcast app.
Copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976. Allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by a copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. Bye!